Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, we celebrate the birth of the unlicensed taxi driver as we try to answer a question. Unlike Scott, does wine get better with age? To find this out, we test the very young 2019 Chateau Bordeaux N1. And also, we try a very old 2002 Chateau Ponet Canet Pouillac. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight we are celebrating the long, very long, extremely long life of the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be celebrated.
Tonight you'll hear in the background we have classical music. Mm-hmm. We tonight are being classy, yeah. Which is ironic considering it's Scott's birthday. But also on the show, speaking of classy, is the Triple B. Yeah.
Good evening. I didn't know. I was pausing.
She's busy scratching herself and yawning.
No, I was yawning and pausing because I was just thinking, like, what else you were going to say.
Mm. Now,
and how soon I needed to interject.
I know. Now, we would have started the show earlier tonight, but Scott decided it'd be a good idea to drive and get stuck in a snowdrift.
Yep.
In my yard.
Which I kind of predicted.
And I had to dig him out like a man with a shovel.
He's not the first person.
Yeah, but you don't want to be that other person, because that other person had to have somebody come tow his dumb ass out.
AAA come.
Who was that? No, I didn't hear about that. About Steve?
It wasn't Steve. Steve has the decency just to drive through and pirouette.
Just keep on going. Yeah. Steve just floors it when he gets stuck in our yard.
Who got towed?
He's been on the show one time, and is not Australian, Russian. You can figure it out. You can do the math, put the pieces together. On tonight's show, folks, you heard on the open, we have a competition of sorts, but not really. Probably have the most lopsided, unfair on the surface competition ever in the history of wine comparisons. We're doing old versus young. And normally what you would do is you would say, I'm going to have a young version of the same wine as the old version. But we're poor. So we don't have that. What we're doing tonight is a completely unequal comparison, because we have a young wine that is a Grand Vin Bordeaux, and an old wine, which is a fifth growth Grand Cru Bordeaux, which doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. However, one thing is true. The young wine has a higher review than the old wine, and it has a gold medal on it. So...
That's two things that would be true then.
It has a gold sticker.
Well, yes, but that's 24 karat plastic gold from the decanter, of course. So we are defending the honor of the decanter tonight. Mm. It won't take very long to do that.
It could be worse.
Mm.
It could be James Suckling.
We wouldn't have him on the show. Well, anyway.
We wouldn't?
No. The young wine, the inexpensive wine, is Chateau Bordeaux N Degree 1. Whatever.
I think it's number one.
I think it is number one.
I know. I said number one before, too. But there is a degree symbol between the N and the one.
Yeah, I think it means number, right?
We're just going to say number one.
I think so in France.
Mm-hmm. And it's their 2019 vintage. Now, it is from, Baillet Côte de Bordeaux. So, Baillet Côte de Bordeaux is, actually, it's what's left bank, of course. No. I'm sorry, it's right bank. It's right bank. But this is predominantly Cabernet, I do believe, if my information is correct. Let me double check that. No, I'm wrong. It's 89% Merlot. So that makes sense why it would be right bank.
It's right bank.
Yes. I'm just thinking of this. It would be northwest of Bordeaux itself. So right off the river. The second wine, though. Second wine. As I said before, fifth growth. Grand Cru Bordeaux, and it is Chateau Ponte Canet. If you're from the 1800s, you would know it as Canet. Nevertheless, it is their 2002 Pouillac. Well, it's always been Pouillac. Pouillac is a classic left bank. wine. More cab than Merlot. Part of Alt Medoc. So it's a AOC within Alt Medoc, which yes. I mentioned the fifth growth. So there was a classification of Bordeaux in 1855. And so they had them all. I don't recall how many of them are. I have it written down somewhere, but I can't be bothered. So the OGs, it was one of the fifth growth. So you're like your Lafitte, and that crap is your first growth. Kind of a suggestion there. Grand Wine. Current vintage, I believe, is around $200. Nice. You can buy the 2009 right now on wine.com for
$290. $290 of your dollars.
I bought this for $42 back in the day, a few years ago, like 2005, 2006.
This is a three move bottle?
Just about. Yes. So that is representing the old of Bordeaux, but both Bordeaux. And another reason why we're doing Bordeaux is because Scott happens to like Bordeaux.
I do. It's my birthday and he's rocking it.
And the Triple B does not.
I feel right. Wanted.
But you do.
I'm in a bit of a mood. And so when Rob told me we were having this sec, it was even in more of a mood.
Oh, even though it was for my birthday?
I suggested this is a second episode.
It can't be. Because we don't even have anything for the second episode. We're just going to drink these two bottles and just drink.
And just be happy.
And if we want to have a second episode, it's called P-O-R-T.
Oh, shh.
But that's
not... It's called what?
Nothing. Anyway. We are going to take a break.
Tomorrow. Rob has to come home in the middle of the day because I have a physical therapy appointment.
Yes.
And I said, why don't you just stay home in the morning? He said, no. But you know what's going to happen? He's going to get
Starbucks on the way in.
Stupid drunk.
No.
And end up staying home all morning. Not because I asked him, but because.
All false. So, folks.
Can't you see that?
I could see it.
You know what I can see?
Clearly now the snow is gone.
I duck it out from your minivan. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the first, the young wine, the Chateau Bourdonnais N1, we'll just call it. There's a degree symbol in there. Who the fuck knows?
It's the numero sign.
Is it?
It is the N number one, followed by the superscript lowercase O.
I was on their website earlier today, and I will say it is the classiest website I've been on in a long time. Not because of their wine, because they had background music, and it was like what we're listening to now.
So you were inspired?
No, I just thought it was classy. It was also extremely creepy.
You're used to that. We've been discussing creepiness this week.
Yes, we've been talking about you. It's your birthday.
I think we've been talking about psychoanalysis and you in creepy.
Now, we have some information about the wine. Becky, would you like to read the informational sheet?
Note, folks, he didn't bite.
I know. I noticed this one.
Mm-hmm.
That's rude.
I can't read it either, folks. They only have their informational sheet in French. But I can tell you that they do age part of the wine in oak. That's all I got. But it does.
There is something about the terroir de Bordeaux.
Yes.
You see that?
Mm-hmm. It is 89%.
And that's microclimate.
Mm-hmm.
It represents the elegance of Salon Luke Schweitzer.
True. It is 89% Merlot, 8% Cabernet, 3% Malbec. So.
I like how you gave me that to read it. On my list.
But we do have the winemaker's notes. Would you like mine? It's easier to find. There's lots of facts and figures tonight.
Oh, this says number one on it.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Aha.
Offers a beautiful, deep garnet color to the eye with intense reflections. What does that mean? It's expressive and complex nose made up of very ripe black fruits, black currant, blueberry, blackberry, and fresh red fruits. Strawberry and red currant is enhanced with wonderful toasted and vanilla notes. Its mouth is rich, structured, fleshy, and ample thanks to its round and silky tannins. The finish brings this rich side, which will make it appreciated on all occasions.
You know, so many times the winemaker's notes are deceitful. Yeah. I stuck my nose in while you were reading that, and the aromas followed along with your words.
And I was coughing because I was choking on a piece of ice. But I'm okay.
I think that we should share what glasses we're drinking out of.
I was just thinking the same thing.
These are Riedel Grand Cru Bordeaux glasses. So, folks, go on to Amazon, whatever. Look up Riedel Grand Cru. They are magnificent. Think of the standard Cabernet glass and then forget about that, because this is the way it should be.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Oh, yes.
It's beautiful. And for a finer wine, mm-hmm. you want to get the aromas, you need the proper glassware.
Mm. And not that this is like what you're doing with your glass, but you could pour a Diet Coke in there in a ton of ice. That's how big, like a can of Diet Coke and ice. That's how huge this glass is.
You could do that.
I said you wouldn't do it, but I'm just saying for size reference, look how big. This is what, a 20-ounce glass of water?
Yeah.
Look.
32.
Yeah?
32. Yeah.
I think it's about 24 ounces what it is.
It's huge.
Now, don't tell William because he'll do that. Now, the review. Folks, we have to tell about the review since it has a golden sticker on
it. It has a golden sticker.
It's like Willy Wonka.
It's a gold medal.
Yeah.
Gold medal.
Triple B, do you have that review in front of you?
I do. It's in English.
What?
Pristine definition of pure and driving damson.
Damson.
Cherry and plum with understated vanilla oak. Deep and long, the palate reveals a cascade of fleshy black fruits over ripe, fine-grained tannins and fruit-bonded acidity. Lovely stuff.
And that's the decanter provided at 95 of their points. So this is a high-level wine. This is a classically reviewed wine, ergo, it is fair to compare it against the Ponte Canet.
I think their their review is a little bit over the top.
Didn't sound like a 95 to me.
But then they said lovely stuff.
Did it sound like a decanter 95 to you?
Decanter's usually not over the top.
Yes, they are. A 95 from the decanter is over the top.
That is over the top. What I'm saying is they're usually not over the top. Well, you know, when you see their reviews in line with other reviews of French, Italian wines, they're usually in line with the other reviews.
Well, I was thinking about the Chateau La Roque. Remember that? It got a 95 from the decanter. But the La Roque had the good decency not to put a sticker on their label.
They did that.
Yes. But this also is $15.99 of your money. Mm. So it's cheap.
And it's from 2019.
The other issue I have with that review, damson sounds like it's a biblical term.
Or it sounds like some sort of paper mache shit you put in your mouth to make a mouth impression.
I was going to say, it's like a character from a smut novel.
It's a version of gypsum, folks.
Damson.
I don't know what the hell damson is. I've heard them in distress, though.
Damson in distress.
Yes. Ah, ha, ha, ha. That's very Scott of me. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, it's funny.
In the glass, it does look dark.
Damson is a relatively small, plum-like fruit.
Oh, there you go. Well, I do declare. Aren't I stupid?
Now decanter sounds like it is a 95 review.
In South and Southeast Asia, the term damson plum refers to something else. It's a fruit.
It tastes like damson. When they were in the review, they were all like, hello, we're at the decanter. Oh, that tastes of damson. Do you mean plum? No, I mean a damson plum, because that tastes different. It does. Oh, cheerio. Yes.
Number
red
one,
snapper with damson chutney.
I can't wait for 6 months from now when you are doing a review and you say it tastes like damson. I'm waiting for that day, aren't
fairness,
you?
In fairness, the damson plum is my favorite plum.
Number two, why would you bring up a driving damson and then say lovely stuff at the end of your review?
It's because if you've ever seen a couple plums, never mind.
I know.
Anyway,
I'm just
okay. In the glass, it
if
does.
All of a sudden, I drop off the episode. It's just because I can't take anymore. I just had to go put myself to bed.
We've been Princess has been mainlining Outlander, and they use.
Is that a show or some sort of drink?
Netflix show.
Oh, thank God. And I don't know what you were talking about. It's the new
slang. You don't know that.
It's the new slang for methamphetamines. What?
Body parts using fruit and plum is one that they use, and it's disturbing how pornographic that show is.
Hmm. Like Bridgerton?
It's a little less than that.
That's how I got Becky down here. I said, it's going to be like Bridgerton. We're drinking Bordeaux. She's like, okay.
Yeah, that was me.
Mm-hmm. That is what I
think. Okay. If it was Bridgerton, they'd be drinking claret.
And they'd be naked.
Well,
and a guy would be.
Just him. Just Simon.
Yes, we'd see some guy's taint. Him,
stop.
And him wanking off into a blanket
stop.
Next to him.
Anyways.
Outlander has a bunch of nudity in it. Too.
Let me roll over. Sorry.
So we're watching Outlander.
The superstar loves that show, by the way.
We're watching Outlander, which is time travel, by the way. You touch stones and
of course.
She travels back and forth in time.
Oh, it's realistic then.
And then so they went on a journey to Jamaica. And when they were leaving Jamaica.
Why would you go on a journey to Jamaica?
Well, it's a long story.
They could go back in time, but they went to Jamaica.
There was a shipwreck and they survived the shipwreck. And my wife was scoffing that it was not believable that they would have survived that shipwreck.
What?
I'm like, okay, time travel, believable.
What rock did they touch to go to the old Jamaica? Was it old Jamaica or just new Jamaica?
This is 1700, so it's old Jamaica.
Oh.
The rocks were in Scotland, of course.
But
remind us on break, we have to tell you a story about our neighbors.
Oh, I wouldn't hear it now.
Well, we won't, because we're going to drink the wine first.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to write it down.
The nose.
On the nose, the and I'm going to speak like this the rest of the show.
It was spot on.
Hmm.
The layers of berry, the layers of fruit.
Oh, yeah.
A little cassis.
Currant.
Slightly nicely muddled, though. It's muddled, but nicely muddled.
It's really...
Blueberry.
Yeah, the dark fruit is the most prominent, but the sweetness of the strawberry is a nice break in it.
And that, in the background, stick your nose in the middle of the glass, you get pure vanilla.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just...
Well, it's part in barrel. I read that.
It's beautiful. The description of the winemaker is spot on for this nose.
It is. Mm-hmm. Strawberry, I mean, when you smell it on a bad wine, it's so bad.
Mm.
But when you get a strawberry in a nice wine, it's such a nice taste.
It's
a nice smell.
It's just a component of the fruit that's present.
Yep. Really, really nice.
Subtle.
Also,
they did get it spot on.
Just a slight touch of coffee on the nose.
Oh.
Really? You've had coffee on the brain, though.
Well, I had to defunct one in a pour-over container. So, by the way, to take lots of small cork particles out of a wine, top tip, pour-over coffee. Those filters and the pour-over thing?
Yeah.
Probably makes the wine shitty, but we'll find that out later with the Ponte Canet. So it's basically that Ponte Canet has been had one arm tied behind its back and it's been kicked in the nuts. Now it's going to fight.
Well, I'm thinking it's going to be okay.
I don't think so. That's okay, though.
Damn it.
Here we go. First thing I'm going to say is the oak is far more prominent than it is in this wine than it is in a lot of the other Bordeaux that we're tasting under 20. It's almost buttery on the mid palate, and the fruit is being constrained by that oak. Because I think there's a nice bit of a fruit that's there, mostly slightly unripe black fruit, but the oak on the mid palate hits and kind of...
There's a couple things else going on that I'm going to take what you said and take it a step further. This needs to sit back a little bit.
Yes, it does.
There's a little bit of acidity there, too, that I think will smooth out as the oak smooths out as well. But there's a nice wine there.
There is. It just needs a couple years to really soften. Very hard edge. And the tannins actually are very, very grippy, too. That's the thing, like the Roque, which is a nice competitor to this, it is already open and inviting.
This is not open.
But that's not something that's going to age. Well, I mean, age. We're talking 2 to 3 years is all this thing probably has to it. Well, yeah. You know, we're just talking about the overall grape stock and really the AOC in which it comes from, the satellite Bordeaux. It's not known for its ageability, you know. And it's a $15 wine, for God's sakes.
I like it.
I don't dislike it.
I like the potential in that class.
True.
But is 2 years going to be long enough for the oak to soften?
The thing is, I don't know how long the rest of it can hold together.
Point taken.
It needs time to ripen and sweeten and soften. But is there a big enough, sturdy enough wine underneath all those things to really resist it? What is the sweet spot on this? I think, obviously, 19 is very young.
Yeah.
But I would say 2024 is about where you're going to, you know.
Max out.
I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, but these wines aren't known for. I mean, it doesn't have a big, big bripe fruit. It has unripe dark damson. Fruits.
Yeah.
And damson. And those can go one of two ways, you know. And most of the ways aren't the way you want it. I could see this being after, you say, 2024, 2025, something that is more mineral driven, soft, and lithy. Nice. A nice wine. But you miss a lot of that dark fruit that's there,
which would be fine, and I think fine. I think I could see that where I'm not really getting that minerality now. Maybe it would show a little more.
Well, in with that oak, in that mid palate is where that is twinkling through. So right with that oak, the oak, it's French oak, and it might not be as prominent as I thought initially, because I think what it is, it's the really the heavy tannin structure and the astringency backed up by the minerality that all kicks in at the same time. That's probably buttressed by that oak that is kind of giving off that mid palate kind of, it's like a door slamming right on everything else.
You know, I think a good comparison point for this, it's not the same wine, but that Merlot based Chateau Monvaille.
A little
it's,
bit.
It's a little bigger than this, but similarly, it's a little
but
a little raw, a little harsh at first.
But not the base Fronzac, more like the Eleanor.
Yes.
But the Eleanor, I think, is a little more complex. This actually reminds me of the Chateau Dauphine Lepage, one of those, or the Chateau Bellevue. Some of the just a regular old Grand Vin. That isn't in this price range, low teens, whatnot. They're solid. That might have some potential, but I remember Doron Lapinier. I can't read from here. It's that one. What is it? Doron Lapinier? No. Up, right there. What is that?
Lapron.
What?
Lapron.
Oh, okay, Doron Lapron. That's what it was. I don't recall. That's a satellite, too. Once again, it's shining in my eyes. I can't tell if that's a Saint-Emilion, a satellite Saint-Emilion. Is that what that is?
I don't recall.
I don't know. I don't know. It's been too long. But it was very mineral-driven. This is like that, too, sort of. But this is far more tannic on the mid-palate. So, what do you think, Becky?
And it's not your thing. We know this isn't your cup of tea, but still, what's your impression?
I don't like it.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel?
I think the oak in the middle is too big. I think it overpowers the fruit. I think it's too acidic at the end. And honestly, the finish on it is so acidic to me that it almost reminds me of when you have heartburn and you swallow and you get a little bit of the return.
Well...
That is right, isn't it?
No. It's yes, tannic, it is. And there is a bit of a chalkiness from the tannin.
You know what else I get on the finish? A little leather
hanging
around there.
It is quite interesting in that regard.
So I was interested in your comments about letting it sit for a little bit. Yes. Because the oaking is very strong.
It's almost like a barrel sample. Yeah. I mean, it tastes like that. It tastes like it's a slightly unrefined, but you're like, oh, okay, let's revisit this. But that's what really was. It's not a barrel sample, by the way, but Chateau Bourdonnais. Hold it another year before you release it. Just a suggestion. I'm not saying you need to hold it another year before you release it, but I think you probably need to hold it another year before you release it.
It also is interesting to me. You don't normally see this big of oaking with French oak. It's normally so much more subtle. And so this strong oaking, to me, is a little bit uncharacteristic of French wine.
Well, I think one reason why you're wrong. Let me tell you why. We notice it more here because the fruit is unripe.
And
so it's more of a balance issue than anything else.
You barely get any fruit before the oak hits.
But that's not the oak's fault. That's the fruit's fault. Mm-hmm. So it's,
thank you.
So let me tell you why you're wrong.
I know. Go ahead.
But that's why I'm here, aren't I? So.
Well, I also said that it reminds me basically of stomach bile. You were like, you mean chalk and leather. No, I actually meant stomach bile.
One man's stomach bile, another man's chalk and leather.
It is pretty harsh, though.
It is, but it's the truth.
No, your opinion is a little harsh, not the wine.
I like the acidity in this. I think the acidity in this.
Yes.
Not as good a wine as what I'm going to bring up. But there's that acidity in Uberuth that you talked about and mocked. And then over time, we've come to appreciate that.
I mocked you.
It's not as good a wine as
Uberuth.
Is
that the only acidic wine you can ever think of?
It's a great example, though.
Of acidity, yes, but not...
And it calms down with time. Now, that's a big son of a bitch, and this is not that big of a wine.
Yeah, Uberuth, though, Scott, but is a classic Zinfandel, a classic example of the varietal. Chateau Bourdonnais number one is not.
I understand, but what I'm...
This is like saying, you know, Rosenblum's barbecue Zinfandel is pretty acidic. But, you know, Uberuth, you know.
So something about
similarly, I think the acidity would calm down.
Is they basically name everything. Steak, lamb, gourmet burgers, pulled pork, and mushroom dishes.
Yes.
I would be, when you said whatever barbecue's in, that made me laugh. But this would be interesting with mushroom dishes. That would be really lovely. Rob sometimes does, and I mean, you can get this other places, but like mushrooms on top of a steak, like that kind of thing would just be really interesting. And
I like this guy.
I'm enjoying it for the potential, but you know, that fruit's there. It's just a little unripe fruit.
Yeah, it is.
I think if you don't draw as much air on it, the fruit's more present. I like it.
If you add a little more Sprite to it, the fruit's a little more present. What are you talking about?
Sprite?
I won't quaff it. I'll just quaff it. No.
Why don't you say, here's how I'm going to tell you how you're wrong.
I would never get done. We'd never move on with the show. Jesus Christ. Hey, Scott, this is why you're wrong.
Why am I wrong?
I know. Why do you tell that to me when I know...
Because
to be obnoxious.
To make a point that you're wrong is such a rare thing. False. For Scott, it's like
God.
Raisin 732.
I feel a lot of like.
But you already were suffering from a lot of ailments tonight.
I was, but I feel a lot of like stomach bile.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Folks, it is a nice wine.
I don't know how they got to a 95.
There's that.
I don't.
There's that.
I do not know.
Probably a wad of cash in a manila envelope in a bathroom in a truck stop somewhere.
If I am being generous, I'm not within 6 or 7 points of that score.
Well, it's not. I mean, you know, no, I kind of, that's where you're at. I probably am too. I guess we just considering 88 and 89, she hates 88, 89. They kind of like them, but I don't know.
I said if I'm being generous, I'm within 6 or 7 points. You all are going to be in that range.
Well, you're north 85. It's higher than I thought you'd be, let's be perfectly frank.
Yeah, that's whatever.
Who said I was? But well, folks, what we're going to do now.
Relais routier, a French truck stop.
That's where it was.
Relais routier.
That's where this came from.
Hello. Do you have my money?
Is that your French, French accent?
No, but the decanter isn't French. They're British.
Oh.
Well.
I went. I'm the bag man. I was like, I tapped my foot in the truck stop and I got a different response. I got a different kind of package.
Ugh.
And some damson
Let's
plums.
Move on.
So, we're going to go around the room. We're going to get a review of the Chateau Bourdaniou. Number one.
You added in like two extra syllables and an N that doesn't exist.
Anything else you want to complain about?
I just wanted to tell you where you were wrong.
Please, let's double back on that. Just start over and just say it. Let me tell you where you're wrong.
Let me tell you where you're wrong.
Let me explain to you what you meant to say.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off with a triple B.
To me, I'm not high on this wine at all. I don't care to ever have it again. I wouldn't buy it again.
Unfortunately, you have five of them.
Probably do.
No, just
four of them. What? Are you kidding?
No, well, we have one other.
Anyways.
Just one.
I feel like I need to eat some Tums. Like, just being super frank. But I do... I would be willing, if you set this back for 4 or 5 years, to try it again. To me, this is a forgettable wine. It doesn't speak of Bordeaux to me. I mean, I think that there's so much more to be had. This is not... See, there you go. You agree now.
No.
Fair enough.
Anyways, I would give this an 86.
Mm.
And honestly, like...
86 plus.
No, I was going to say I like don't even care enough to debate the score in my mind because it's just...
But you do care.
I'm ready to move on.
And over to El Scoot, the birthday man.
I like this wine for what it could be. And not often do we have a wine where it's so plain to see what it could be. And I think you raised a good question. What would be left of the fruit when the oak does calm down a little bit?
I wasn't asking a question. I pretty much know. But
I don't know. I think there could be a nice, typical, lighter...
But you're not gambling much at $15.99 anyway.
You're not gambling at all.
No.
And it's just personal preference too. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that Becky, aside from her characterizing it as stomach bile, the acidity. I like the acidity in this.
It is wrong.
It is my
honestly
favorite.
I wouldn't be upset if I had some Tums right now.
It is my favorite part of the wine is the little acidity. That and that where the leather comes through in the finish. I'm trying to remember where we've had leather expressed in the finish this way before. It's kind of a unique little thing. I don't recall. Usually we get leather in the mid palate.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's nice.
Oh, yeah.
80 for future potential, 88 of my points.
Mm-hmm.
Not 95.
No,
I agree.
I'm also at 88 of my points. I enjoy the wine. I think that it should be drank in the next 3 to 4 years max. You might actually, hit a home run with it. I mean, if the wine softens just a little bit, and that fruit just susses out just a little bit, it's going to be very nice. Right now, you can drink it. I enjoy it, but it's lacking that real appeal that you want in this price range. I mean, there's a lot of better choices in this price range.
Huh. It's so interesting.
It just...
Who made faces when I said if you're drinking Bordeaux, there's so many better choices.
Let's just be perfectly frank. Any day that you're drinking Bordeaux is a good day.
It's true.
So interesting.
Unless you're negative.
But it's also... So
and you hate the French.
Merlot-based, and that's not everybody's thing.
Not really, but so many of the Bordeaux that are available are Merlot-based. Yep. But this is a very high percentage 90%. Of, yeah, almost 90. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's almost Franzac territory.
Yep.
And it comes across. It's a little harsh. Maybe a little more Cabernet would soften it, possibly.
Yeah.
A lot of the other ones that we're drinking that are Merlot are more in the 60% range. So that might be part of it. The astringency is coming through. So.
And it is what it is. It's got potential. That's what we're scoring. That's what I'm scoring it on. And I like what's there for what it could become. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun to do a wine that you're talking about, not where it's at today, but where it could be in the future.
Mm-hmm. I know. I wish I could remember this taste for 3 or 4 years, you know?
It's that memorable to you, huh?
Huh.
Yeah. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But before we go back to the break, I would like to tell the decanter one thing. Go fuck yourself.
It's been a long time since you pulled that out.
95? I like this wine, but holy fucking hell, man. I mean, come on. A 95. Now, not all 88s are the same. I think we gave the La Roque an 88. La Roque is a lot more enjoyable wine than this. But they both got 95.
That's so interesting that you gave it an 88.
Maybe an 89.
And the other one is more enjoyable than the one that you gave an 88.
This has higher merit in many intellectual ways.
Interesting. Maybe but you wouldn't understand that, would you?
And no. Where it could go.
Where it could go?
Where it could go.
Maybe it could go Siberia. Could do that. To Moscow. St. Petersburg.
Maybe it could go visit
Murmansk.
The Pinophile in what? San Bernardino.
It's cool because I have Russian... I'm talking about you.
So, anyway.
Let's go to our break.
We are going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So on to the old. Now, before we get to the wine, we have to celebrate Scott's birthday.
I thought you were talking about me. On to the old.
Well, that's why, you know. So we bought you just a little token of our esteem. I'm going to hand this to you, Scott.
Oh, my Lord. It feels heavy.
Well, that's because it is.
I'm excited.
I just got a little present. Little present. Nothing fancy.
You guys.
Mm-hmm.
Very fancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we thought your liver needed some help.
This is, I think this is my first bottle of vintage port.
Well, it's not a vintage port.
It's late
bottle. Late bottle vintage port. Yes. I don't like you that much.
Well.
No. This is an LBV. Quinta du Noval, their LBV. Should be very good.
Very nice.
I ordered that on wine.com. Cool enough, it came, but the box was folded. The gift box was folded on the side. So they sent the gift box along with it so you could put it back in there. It's kind of
That's
nice.
Interesting.
It was nice.
I've never seen that either.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Nice touch,
we
wine.com.
We get a lot of wine from wine.com.
It's a box that is trimmed in platinum?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Real platinum. I hear
it's like navy and silver. It's really pretty.
Oh, that looks like a proper bottle of port.
Yes.
It has inlaid print on the glass. Noval since 1715. Mm-hmm. That predates Outlander.
Uh-oh.
James Frazier.
Very true. Very true.
I'm excited. What a great gift.
Well, we're glad you like it.
Bo was trying to take credit for it. Did you see?
Yes, Bo. And this is also Bo's 1 year anniversary for having a home.
Yep.
Hopefully, maybe he'll make it to two. No. He's a good boy. So Bo's birthday and Scott, or Bo's, well, technically his family day and Scott's birthday almost coincide.
Well, you know, we're kindred spirits.
That's true. You have similar hair.
We do.
Yeah. And you smell. Shraggy. You smell similar.
Well, you pet Bo for 2 minutes and you smell like Bo.
That's
so
true.
There's that.
That's true.
And you get Bo's hairs on you, and they never go away.
No, they do not.
They, you know, I've noticed something. They tend to multiply in the washing machine.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like a rabbit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, the Chateau Ponet Canet. I know.
I'm very excited. I'm
glad you like it.
Yes.
I was surprised when Scott said since 1715 or whatever that you didn't make any other comments.
Well, Scott predates the wine. That's okay.
Yeah. I was just like waiting. I feel like you're off your game.
He is.
I'm not trying to be on my game. It's Scott's birthday. I'm being nice.
I wore him out.
I know. And then you said this predates Outlander, and I was like, teed up, Rob. And
I had to boom. Dig out your damn car for when you damn
well,
beached
I wore you
it.
Out.
By the way, folks, minivans are very heavy to push. What the hell? Get that daggone effeminate mobile.
If there was ever a question,
there's
if Rob
wrong
had
with the car, let's move on.
He
to
was
the
listening
issues.
To techno music. It was on in the car.
I
was trying to turn that shit off. It's like ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, CD 92.9.
Turn that shit off, and then he's like, "You fell down too."
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to bring up. That if there was ever any doubt that Rob had concern for my well-being, we were pushing my vehicle out from getting stuck, and when it freed. I may have slipped and fallen to the ground.
Yes. And then I stopped the car because I didn't want to go running over him.
He was legitimately concerned for my well-being. I was touched.
I'm sorry. I mean, I thought you were okay. I just didn't want to feel a thump.
Yeah.
Although that might have provided some traction to that thing. So
we needed some traction.
Yes. The 2002 Chateau Ponet Canet. Now, from Pouillac, as we discussed before, left bank, it is 65% Cabernet, 32% Merlot, 2% Cab Franc, and 1% Petit Verdot.
Rob's favorite.
Now, Triple B, you have some information about the winery.
The just, history.
When did
the
does
production.
It, do you have the information as to when it was founded?
When the property was purchased?
Sure. No, when they originally established the winery, I guess. When was, do we know that? That's probably a long time ago.
So, Bordeaux was originated in 1855.
Well, that was the 1855 classification.
Classification.
Yes.
So, 10 years after that is when the property was purchased. So, 1875.
Well, this wine was part of the 1855 classification, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it was one of 18. One of the 18 original ones.
Yeah. So it's an OG.
It is the OG of OGs.
Not to say that they didn't make wine before then. Of course, they did. However, it was Napoleon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That established, apparently, the 18 best, essentially. But this was the fifth level. First level, and I can tell you that real
quick. Think how much you would have to have, I mean, you would have to be quality, but think how much in Napoleon's pocket you would have to be one of 18.
Well, yeah,
you know?
And the thing is, most of these still exist. I mean, you can buy a great deal of these, but first growth, I mean, Aubryon is a first growth.
Aubryon.
Mouton, Chateau Mouton, Rothschild.
Chateau Mouton.
Lafitte is another one that's a first growth.
Lafitte.
It's a neighbor of Rothschild.
Oh, yeah.
Across the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Latour. Lafitte Rothschild and Mouton Rothschild. They're all first growth. Then Pichon Longueville Landais are second growth. Chateau du Haut Milan is a fourth growth. I never heard of that one.
I wonder if their neighbors have fireworks displays and have, unusual flags.
They could be. I mean,
you can only hope.
Well,
and yeah, and there's so many of the, with the Pone Cane. There's also Lynch Bash, which I've had, which is lovely. Where's the other one that I've had? Grand Pour La Coste is good, very good. I remember though, we always had Lynch Bash and then Pone Cane in the at the Andersons.
Okay. It was just standard. You carried all the time.
Yeah. They were like $40. Wow. Yeah, that's where I bought the Smith Holt Lafitte. You could buy Lagrange, which is not this, but you could buy all of those things there. But that's so long ago.
I mean, it wasn't $40 today's money, but still, $40 is $40.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Smith Holt Lafitte was like 53.
You can work at the Burger King and afford a $40 bottle of wine.
I just bought a bottle of Smith Holt Lafitte. The 16. Nice. It did not cost $40.
No.
It did not.
Didn't?
No.
Damn it.
Then again, there are so many out there on wine.com.
What did you buy those for?
My
what
wife
occasion?
Told
no,
me.
What occasion?
Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. That's right. My wife.
Is a gift from?
My wife. Triple mm-hmm. B.
So really, to be quite honest, if we would mansplain it to the audience, mm-hmm. Rob, mm. Rebecca got...
That's what I was trying to say.
Her wonderful... Yeah, you didn't say it very well.
I bought the wine.
I just bought.
You did.
I bought the wine.
You did. With your heart and soul.
It was a wonderful present.
It is.
I'm also getting a wonderful present.
You are.
What's your present?
Me. With a bow on me. You don't need to know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Rob, what did you call it? My practical dream?
Everything that Becky wants. I would like a new... She wants an actual organization of the closet, a closet organizer in our closet.
Okay.
Like a nice one, which is a case of Chateau Smith, which is, yes, it's 10 cases.
So she wants you to build a closet like I built for my wife. First thing I did in the new house.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
now she watches Outlander. So.
Well. What happened to your husband?
You said
you, beautiful things.
You were like, you have these practical dreams.
Yes,
that's what
you do.
You said.
Yes, you do. I have dreams of Bordeaux. Now, this wine, though, the Smith Holt Lafitte, Smith Holt Lafitte, Pone Cane.
Something I was going to say on mm-hmm. these notes that you gave us. At the bottom, it says fermentation takes place in a mixture of concrete and stainless steel vats. Wines are aged for 16 to 20 months and up to 60% new oak barrels before fining with egg whites and bottling.
Mm-hmm.
It drops the sediments out, yeah.
But I think that that's interesting because a lot of winemakers kind of skip over the egg whites piece of it. You know, they kind of like glance over it
mm-hmm.
like it's, I don't know, like a seedy thing that they do. But they're like, well, this is how we make it.
It's yeah, and... I believe it's really common in Bordeaux.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how much. I don't know if it's the primary method or not, but it's common. Mm-hmm. And it's actually used in water treatment to flocculate with different treatments. And
flocculate?
Flocculate. You're flocculating it with egg whites.
It's a dirty word.
But it's a method mm-hmm. of filtration.
Yep.
It's just a method of filtration.
Well, I can say this. Oh, it does have one review.
And then it was later another method of filtration.
Whoa.
It was the coffee filter. Yeah. It has a 92 from the Wine Spectator. And they said it's solid wine with berry, currant, and mineral character. Full-bodied with silky tannins and a long finish. Racy. Alfred Tesseron is making excellent wine nearly every year now. One of the few 2002s better than the 01. Best after 2008. I think we've accomplished that by 13 years.
So the nose is...
better than what it tastes like, I'm sure. But I have low hopes. The nose is a triumph of berry, sweet, strawberry.
Mint.
Mm-hmm. Mint, which is a highline component of a nose. River Rock.
Mm-hmm. A touch of funkiness.
A slight. I think we should just smell the wine for the rest of our lives, not drink it.
It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. It was a lovely nose. And vanilla.
Licorice in the form of black Jack gum.
Yeah, black licorice.
You know what I'm talking about? Black Jack gum?
Yeah, that stuff tastes like shit. But yes, I know
what
you mean.
But that's the nose of this. Yeah.
This nose is such a... When you see like stuffy old white men quaffing wine, this is what you imagine.
This is what you think of.
Yeah.
But the nose is still vibrant. It's lovely. It's beautiful.
It is very nice.
But you know this nose is of an old wine.
Oh, yes. Well, although, does it smell old? It smells beautiful.
It still smells
smell
beautiful.
Like musty, but it smells mm-hmm. like it's not, but, wasn't made in 2019.
Well, yeah. The components that you would normally expect from a fresher wine just do not exist. There's no grapiness there. There's no mentholated alcohol there. It's just, this is a...
And you see a slight brickish crimson hue, but it's still very, very dark. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in.
I'm surprised that it's not more brickish.
I know.
Is that concerning since we had some cork issues?
Many things are concerning.
We got issues and concerns, folks. It's not corked.
It's not corked.
It's not corked. That's a lovely motherfucker. That is why you set down a bottle of wine for 20 years.
Maybe you want to do it for 18, but still, yeah, it's...
The elegance of the wine, even though it's really complex, it's super elegant.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you could drink a lot of this.
That is plainly, if you're going to describe this with one word, elegant is a great mm-hmm. choice, I think. I love that.
Mm-hmm. You could be in a bad way before you even notice, because it's just, it's very, very nice.
That's a great freaking line. You could be in a bad way before you even notice.
You could. See, Rob's over there licking his lips.
Okay. I originally, when I poured it, the cork fell apart. I mean, it fell into 10,000 pieces. There was cork laden through the wine. I ran the wine through a fucking coffee filter. Mm-hmm. A pour over, of course, because I'm classy. And by the way, pour over filters do a marvelous job. Beautiful job. Took all the cork out of it, even took sediment out of it. Actually, really did a nice job. Mm-hmm. The wine has been on a 3-hour decant. And I sampled.
I would guess it needed it.
I sampled a small portion originally thinking that it was gone. It was cranberry. It was light. It was somewhat acidic. Similar to how we experienced the Clarendon Hills. Okay? What has happened is it has rejuvenated itself with the power of oxygen. And it is an elegant display of just aged loveliness.
It's not quite beef, meat, but it's the minerality is headed that way. It's not leather, but it's got a minerality that's
yeah. And I think at the end of the minerality, I also get like a cigar box spice box.
That's it. No, it's that's where lovely. It's at.
Really, yeah. Really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Spice box, nice term.
Medium bodied. Urethral experience of a wine. Blue fruits all throughout. Lovely savoriness. Just nice little pockets of lithy oak. The wine just slides over your palate and then almost finishes just in an elegant sense that you know it's there and you enjoy it, but it's like it's gone.
There's a component of fat.
What?
Like not quite beef fat.
No,
not. But there's a component.
Rob was like almost high, and then you said that. Well, I took it away. Like,
but it's.
I was in you. I was having a euphoric moment.
You were there.
And then you brought me out of it with your crackhead shit.
Stop you before you had to clean yourself.
What the fuck are you?
No, there's an element
of what
to the mouthfeel of a fattiness, and I don't mean dairy. I mean almost like tallow, like beef fat. There's just an element of.
Let me see.
Scott smokes crack and I don't care. Scott smokes crack and nobody really smokes crack anymore. You should get that going again. Be a trendsetter.
Smoky bacon fat.
Mm. Okay, well.
Absolutely. Right as it transitions from mid palate to the finish. And it's just a component, but that cigar spice box that Becky talked about, that's that earthy, not leather thing that you nailed that descriptor. And, you know, yes, it's got those brighter fruits that, I don't know, maybe it's a little surprising for this. Did you expect that from here? Because the savory fruits are
not initially.
The savory fruits are right there with it.
I don't know. I mean, what I love, honestly, the mouthfeel. Becky, what do you think about the mouthfeel on this fella?
It's elegant. That's what I think it. We talked about it. The other one that stands out to me that has a similar mouthfeel is Camus. Where it's so silky that you could just drink so much of it without.
Camus? Did you have Camus that one night?
I had Camus out on the deck.
Okay.
I think that's a good.
I don't remember the Camus much.
So, but I just think Camus, you could drink so much of it so quickly, and this reminds me of that. You want to savor it, but you're also, it's so silky, you just want more.
Yeah, true. This is.
And you can for $290 of your money.
Similar to Camus, but this is more, the mouthfeel of this for me is a little more subtle than Camus. Mm. Camus is that mouthfeel is not over the top in the way that it makes the wine over the top. It's just that's what Camus is.
Yeah.
It's that fruit, that Cali cab fruit, and then that mouthfeel, where this has so much else going on, and the mouthfeel is. Just part of what makes it.
Camus is
elegant.
Closer to a grape dum dum than it is to this wine. Let's be fair.
I am mentioning the mouthfeel and the drinkability.
I just needed to stick a knife and Wagner.
I know you love to bash Camus.
But I think it's.
It's good, but it's not.
No, that Camus mouthfeel is. If you've had Camus, you know exactly what Becky was talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good comparison point to this. I just think this mouthfeel is a notch down in that. It doesn't take over the wine, but the elegance of this, the mouthfeel with all these other components, I'm shocked at the berry fruits that are in this.
Oh, yes. Lovely.
So unexpected from a 20-year-old Bordeaux to have blueberry coming
out. Chateau for number one. Not doing too well.
The other thing that is really stands in such a contrast to the wine that we drank earlier is the balance that this has, where everything's in a line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It nothing is overpowering, overshadowing. It just is a really nice progression of the palate. You know, you're going from your front palate, mid palate, finish. It just is so well done. And it reminds me of like, I think about this sometimes when someone's like classically trained on piano or in a sport or something like that, and then they have a chance to shine and you're like, that's why you did 5,000 free throws. That's why you did scales.
It's so funny. This week, Deb and I were talking about, you know, the NBA players, they've, many of them are drinking big time red wine.
Yeah.
French, big California. And this would be something that those folks.
LeBron would be.
LeBron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
CJ McCollum. It's just. Oh, we're passing notes.
No, I gave Becky a gold star for her soliloquy that was very, very good.
Aww.
You don't get shit.
Aww.
With your tastes like fat. What?
No, it is. It's smoky bacon fat. It's there. I'm sorry I interrupted your orgasmic.
You did. I was.
You weren't even on this planet.
No,
it was not.
No,
and it was. I had to bring him down.
What we should have done, if I had realized a moment before, is we should have gotten on air a baby name.
Huh?
And then he would have been like, "Yes, you're right."
And then
we would have it to on record.
I know you could get. I know the cost of a baby name. $290. Actually, no. I wouldn't buy the 2009. I'd buy a current vintage.
And age it.
Of course. Oh, no. I mean, eventually, yes, there will be another Ponte.
Scatina's a great name.
Scatina?
Scatina.
I know you think you're saying what you think you're saying, but you're not.
I am.
I met a girl named Scatina. Scatina. She's not very popular.
Scatina. I just met a girl named Scatina. Bally High.
Isn't that from West Side Story?
I was thinking maybe it was a butchered thing from Sound of Music. I'm like Maria.
It was probably, I just meant a girl named Maria's. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't sing like that in West Side Story.
Which is like
actually they do.
Arguably
they
don't. One of the most offensive.
It is very dated. Let's just say that's the nice way of saying offensive. Scott, don't defend it. Please don't. You start again. It's Broadway. Yeah.
No.
That's that Scott.
No, it's old. It's racist.
It's shitty.
Cop things. But the love story parts of it are relevant. I'll give it that.
It's just a knockoff of Romeo and Juliet.
What?
Let's go back to the wine.
Let's go back to the wine. Scott. Nay.
I actually thought, I'm laughing in my head that West Side Story came up, because when you're talking about the left bank and the right bank, that's where my mind went, was West Side Story. So it's so funny that it came up later in the episode.
Okay, Becky. Name something in the wine.
Oh, we're going to do that game. Okay, Spice Box.
Spice Box. It's my favorite term. Spice Box.
I'm down to like 5 drops, but I mean, I can't drink anymore. But.
No, you can't. How could you?
How could you, darling? Rocky. Currant.
Any type of currant?
I'm going to go red currant.
Boop, boop, boop.
No, I'm going red currant.
You're incorrect.
Ripe red currant.
Damson plum. No. Oh, Jesus. I just love that nose. I don't want to drink it. I want to smell it.
I would thought that, too. If you were cooking and you had that smell, if you had that, candle, whatever, it's exactly... I mean, you can just imagine like a French chalet.
Mm-hmm. Cassis.
You're baking or you're cooking and...
Oh. Paul Robinette made candles early 2000s and he had a red wine candle and I don't remember what it smelled like, but if have him make a red wine candle, it would smell like this.
Yes.
And you're also not going to be cooking with this wine, but can you imagine the dishes if you did? I mean, like what they would taste like, what they would smell like. That's what I was just thinking too, like...
Imagine having this at the refectory. First of all, you'd be broke.
Yeah.
But
it
if
would
you,
be $500.
Easily.
You know what? I wouldn't want to have this wine anywhere else but right here.
That's a good point.
Right now.
It belongs in the wine vault.
Mm-hmm. It's just, this is...
Your birthday.
Well, this is why you age wines. This is why I've begun to age wines, for opportunities like this. There's that anticipation. Mm-hmm. The cork broke. So there was that anxiety of, oh my God, is it turned? Is it ruined?
Just is patience and keeping calm. And then just saying, fuck it.
And
never
and
give up.
It's fucking spectacular. Wine. You've wrapped it in towels and blankets and moved it.
Oh, yes. All of this stuff. But it's all been troopers. They've been Yeah, because mm-hmm. I've owned this thing probably for 16, 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm imagining you're making some dish with like mushrooms and beef broth, and this is in it, and it's bubbling on the stove. I mean, can you imagine anything?
I have to make you guys this mushroom dish I've been making. The little Nepalese grocery by the house. They have these oddball mushrooms. I don't know what they are. Mm. They're about 3 inches long, and then the cap of the mushroom is small. It's maybe a quarter inch to a half inch in height, mm-hmm. and they're packed really tight. So, like, the base of the mushrooms, it's just a block of mushroom. And then the tiny stems that go up, and they're beautiful. They have almost a butterscotch color about them. And I just softly saute them and then make a little, like, mushroom gravy out of them, mushroom soup. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Butter, garlic.
Jesus Christ. Onion. This is good.
It would be beautiful with this. Mm-hmm. So it's your turn, sir.
I already said, I said cassis. Mm. I said it quietly because I was in a coma.
Rebecca, what else do you see in this vine?
I know you vetoed red currant, but strawberry? Are you going to allow that?
Disagreed with red currant, but strawberry.
There's a sweet redness in there.
I mean, maybe a slightly flat. Although it's so... It's so well defined. Normally, I would say strawberry was something that's just a little bit more acidic.
But
I understand what you mean.
For me, as I'm tasting the wine, that nose of strawberry is still there for me. And maybe that's similar to what I was getting the red currant.
On the tip end.
It's very front.
On the tip end. No.
Just I agree. The tip.
You pass.
Just the tip.
No, I concur.
Thank you.
I think there's an undefined floral element there for me. I don't think it's quite lavender, but there's a floral element in there that's just wonderful. Honeysuckle, maybe? There's some sweeter floral element there that I love.
Well, blueberry as well. I mean, there's the element of blueberry is there. But I think we'll go on to Becky then, but
I know. I'm like, I have droplets left in my cup. So, I'm so sad. It's like my last.
Would you like love that a little bit more?
No. I love that blackjack licorice on the nose, that blackjack gum, that aroma.
I don't know what you're saying.
Never mind. I was trying to talk to Becky, but. We're not jiving.
Well,
I'm gonna go
all
back.
I got was like punching in the belly. I don't have any idea what that is.
Still, there's something in there with that cigar box, that spice box you called it. There's something towards leather there with that. There's something else along that line there. Maybe it is leather, but.
I think the leather leads into the cigar box.
The cigar box, it's something that's there with that cigar box.
Yeah.
Cigar box.
I would agree with that. I was going to say leather just because I'm just down to drops. But yeah, that's what I was going to say is leather. I think that's very fair.
Some things just don't have a name because, I mean... For me, and I'll tell you, well, tannin, oak, but let's go around. What's everybody's...
I was just going to say, we haven't talked any about the tannins.
Well, what's everybody's favorite component of the wine?
They're still...
You can all be the same.
They're still present. Yeah. They're, you know, there's not... There's a question whether this would be peak. Is it a little past peak? Did it have a couple more years?
No.
But the tannins are still present.
I think it's fine. Yeah.
I think we're in the wheelhouse here.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
This is its window. Yeah.
You know, that's one advantage of having three bottles of something that you say, let's try it after 16 years. Let's try it at 18. Let's try it at 20.
Wine spectator. A solid wine. A solid wine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
Tannins. Well, I can still feel the tannins like on my lips.
Mm-hmm.
When you have something that's tannic and you can feel it on your tongue, like that's great. But when you can feel it on your lips, like you know you're having something really tannic and nice.
I think Spectator might have re-reviewed it down the road and given it a higher score, but I can't be sure of that.
Yeah. My favorite element of this is definitely the mouthfeel. And there's that, I'm sticking with that smoky bacon fat. In not that that's the primary component, but how you get that little coating of your palate with that. That's what this wine does. And maybe that's all I'm saying about the bacon fat, that it just, this texture that the wine has, the mouthfeel, it just coats your wine. The wine coats your mouth, and it's not letting go.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah. I think I am a big fan of that for sure. I'm also a really big fan of the spicy cigar-y box at the end. And we've had it before where it's tasted like an ashtray. And this isn't that at all. And I really like that flavor a lot.
And I do think they're both there, but it's more the spice box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gets you away from that ashy component, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes really, so well with the mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
For me, other than the mouthfeel, which I think we've talked about, I love the nose.
God.
And I'll tell you what, right now, a nice bit of raspberry preserves.
Mm-hmm.
You could.
Well, thank you.
Don't you be drinking mine. Well, she's going to do it. She can if she wants.
There's the little bit of funkiness on the nose. I don't taste it.
Mm-mm. No. And by the way, folks, if you're going to drink these Grand Bordeaux, you need to have glasses such as this. You have to have it.
It because holds 32 ounces.
Yes, the standard cabs aren't going to get it done, even in the Venoms. You have to have these glasses. They are a must investment. And quite frankly, they even make $14 Bordeaux taste better. You know what they even do? They even make Chilean cabs taste better because I've had some of those.
Well, it just,
I had Montez in this motherfucker.
You can
Montez, baby.
You can pull out the different components in the nose.
Oh yeah,
and it's
if you're careful with these glasses, folks, everything that is cab based or Merlot based, these glasses will make better.
Yeah.
Except for anything by Fry Brothers.
Hey.
You know what makes them better? A toilet.
So I do have a question I meant to ask earlier.
Yes.
So this wine is 60%
capital
cab, 33% Merlot, 5% Petit Verdot, 2% Cab Franc.
Yes.
But it is a medium-bodied wine.
Wait, now. Say that. Say that.
Oh, now.
Say that.
It's again? Actually 65, 30, 32, 2, and 1.
Yeah, it's different. Mm. That's a different.
Well, that's historic. You're looking at the, actually, it's a Wikipedia article. But from the actual vineyard.
But still, I just was interested in how it's so much cab and is still medium bodied. Do you think it was originally fuller bodied?
I think so. The review from the Spectator suggests it's full bodied.
Hmm.
But then again, our medium bodied might be their full bodied.
Yeah.
Full bodied, I mean, there is a definition. I think this wine currently is more lithy and more medium bodied, but I think in the past it might have been bigger.
Hmm.
But I don't need full body to love it.
No. I don't either.
Don't
I just am curious
that
about
from
it.
A French aged wine. We
not necessarily
do
no.
not
and
expect a big full body.
I don't need it.
That's also
I don't want it
point,
honestly
because French full bodied is not the same as Cali full bodied.
No.
I think sometimes full bodied is overstuffed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get so much nuance and enjoyment out of medium body. What the fuck cares?
Honestly, I think. Yeah. When we're drinking Pinots that are medium-bodied, I think you get more nuance out of it because you're being hit over the head.
And, and I think that's the point. I think that's, for me, the point of a French wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not full-bodied. You get more of the nuances out of it. I don't think this wine would have been enjoyable if it had, you know, 5 degrees more on the body scale. I think we'd have lost some of the nuances.
Mm. Yeah. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and give a review to the Chateau Ponte Canet Pouillac here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2002 Chateau Pognier Canet Pouillac. We're going to go around the room. We're going to get some reviews. We're going to start off with the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's my birthday. We're going to party. It's my birthday. We're going to party.
Birthday.
It's my birthday. We're going to party.
And we're going to go clockwise around the room.
I'm between two scores. And I'm going to go with a 93 of my points. That's a lot of points, but this is a lot of wine.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see where the Triple B goes with this, because this is, once upon a time, this would not be in your wheelhouse, right? Mm-hmm. Bordeaux wouldn't be your favorite thing. This is, I'm going to use the word transcendent. We talked about elegant. This is a transcendent wine. So many things going on. The textures, the finish. It's a soft finish, but long. I was surprised by the fruit element, generally. An aged French, the ones we've had, they tend to be a little more austere. Mm-hmm. And these were as well a balanced fruit profile to the front palate as the rest of the wine was. I solid 93 for me. Mm-hmm. I was hinting at, wanted to go, didn't quite get there to 94. Mm-hmm. It's 93 all day long.
Becky.
So, when we were talking about the wine, there was a word that I felt like was missing. And I think the word that I was also looking for is sophistication.
Oh.
There's so much of that in this wine. The mouthfeel, the way that it progresses as you drink it, the way that it opens up, the way the nose, all of it has such an air of sophistication. It takes you, you would know in a heartbeat that this is French. It takes you to the French countryside, which is just a really cool experience. And I think we drink all kinds of stuff on the wine vault, but when you have something like this and you have a wine experience and a wine moment, it's really cool. And that's something that you'll remember when you drink it. You recommend it, but it's not like, who's going to be?
We recommend it as your house wine.
Yeah. I want to say
what a life
if
would
you
that be?
Can, if you can find this and you can buy it and you can put it back for a very special occasion, of course do that.
Normally I drink Petrus, but for a value priced wine, I drink. There's fuckers that are like that, by the way.
Yeah. It just is a really... I don't know. It's just a special wine to have. So I am also going to give it a 93. Hmm. And honestly, when you're drinking a wine like this, it almost is like the points don't matter, because it's such a special thing to drink it. It's such a special moment to drink it and have it, that you could go back and forth about a point or two. But it's so lovely and so wonderful. It's something, that you would recommend. You would give it all your accolades, and it's like...
I just wanted to follow up with something. We've been doing this show for a while, and I think all of our palates have changed, including Rob's. But, for Becky and I, we've come a long way with our palates. And to be in a position to truly appreciate this and in our own little pea brains, understand it more than we would have 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's like you said, this is an event. This bottle of wine was an event, and it was spectacular. Mm-hmm.
Scott, do you happen to remember how we scored the Chateau Smith Haute Lafitte? I don't recall.
Off the top of my head?
We scored it well, strongly. Let me start off by saying this, folks.
I think 96, 97.
No, couldn't have been that high.
I think so.
I think it was more 93, 94.
Okay.
Because I'm going to start by saying this. I don't necessarily think this is the best wine we've ever had on the show. That being said, I like this wine the best mm-hmm. of any wine we've ever had on the show.
And those are two different things.
Mm-hmm. Sort of.
They are.
Yeah. Borderline. The only thing that's keeping me from being asinine.
Well, be mm-hmm. asinine. What? Wait, this never stopped you before. What would that be? That would never, nothing would ever stop you from being asinine before.
Well,
would that I know. Be? It is interesting.
Lack of
what
oxygen?
Is?
This wine.
Was it Scott interrupting it with the fat comment?
Yeah.
No. If he had allowed you to finish your moment.
No.
Finish what?
The, I know.
This wine isn't as long as some other wines have been. It doesn't have great length at this point in his life. So that tempers my emotions. But nevertheless, I am providing this wine.
So emotional, folks. He's so emotional.
A very hearty 95 of my points.
And I wish I had the guts to go 94.
It's very... no, I can't.
You can. You did.
No.
Why not?
I can go to 96 of my points.
Whoa, son.
95, 96. My score would be a 92 to 90, or 94 to 96. It is right there with the Donjons, the Pagals, with the Smith Old Lafites. It is in those realms. It's right there. The Pagal is better, but then again, I think we gave it 97 to 98.
And it's different. You know, that's a Chateau Neuf. It's different.
Everything about this wine is practically perfect, except it's not quite as long as it could be, but it probably was held a year
and
or two too long.
It's too expensive to buy to drink every weekend.
Damn it. Who gives a fuck about that?
At $42, it wasn't. Shit.
94, 96. High point is 96, but this wine is exquisite. It deserves every love and accolade it could ever receive in its entire life. This will not be the last Chateau Neuf Ponte Canet that graces the wine vault discounts awine.com. If you ever feel like discounting some Ponte Canet, I'm your man. But not at $2.90 a bottle.
I feel like I also needed to say that this is probably my only experience with it, because from now on it will be only a second episode wine.
Oh yeah.
Because I know how you all are.
Or others.
So
that being said, this wine is magnificent. I'm excited to know, though. Excited to feel the emotion that I know that there are a lot of new Ponte Canets that are in the wine vault that will eventually, down the road, in 15 more years, be this wine. But you know what's great about those wines? I have two of each one.
There, and again, folks, if you're going to buy a Ponte Canet, buy two.
If I could go back in a time machine, I'd buy all the bottles we had of this.
Yeah.
Because it's $42.
Rebecca, perhaps you now have come into the fold of the Bordeaux drinkers.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
perhaps now this is not a second episode wine.
This is a Wine Vault Hall of Fame, but it...
that Rob will never allow it to be portioned into thirds.
No.
That's where I was headed.
No.
It is two bottles are for.
It is on the shelf of distinction in the middle. Mm. On the top shelf.
Doo-doo-doo.
Yes. So this is an elite wine and shall ever be graced as such. And you know what's more impressive? The level of angst I suffered when I felt the cork just crumble and fall apart. But I wasn't deterred.
The time to fix it.
By the way, pour over coffee filters, tip of the cap, because you saved a classic wine.
Of course, with many decanting kits, you get a stainless steel sieve. That's
I tried that, but it wasn't fine enough.
Like a sifter type.
Yeah,
deal.
Wasn't fine enough. So I had to switch to the actual coffee filter. By the way, Scott, it went through. I went upstairs, left it run because I filled it up to the top, and when I came back down, it was all the way through. All the impurities, all the crap was out, and I poured that into a decanter, and this is what you get. I don't think there's any complaints.
Somewhere there's a French wine steward listening to our program going, his ears are bleeding.
Well, he can
ruptured.
He can, you know what? He can take a bite of my whatever those type of plums that James Suckling loves. Damn some plums. Go fuck
Damn
yourself.
Some.
So, Hall of Fame. Bravo, Scott. I hope you enjoyed your birthday.
Happy birthday to me. Yes, I did.
Hope so.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
What a great gift.
I know.
Triple B.
Triple B, I hope you enjoyed this episode.
I did. And my gold star.
But how about the wine?
Mm-hmm.
There's a Bordeaux in your
she
life.
She loves Bordeaux. Not the first one, but she loves
Bordeaux.
To be
fair, none of us loved the first one. Number one.
Well, Scott and I are going to have to drink it.
I'm not complaining.
We have this left of the Ponte Condé, which we're going to hold back until we drink that other.
Yeah,
so we're gonna do our do our work. We're gonna have a business meeting after this,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
in the Wine Vault Lounge,
mm-hmm.
and then
I think we're gonna party. I think we're leaving the classical music though.
Yeah, we probably will.
Biblioteque DeVoe.
Maybe that too.
Where did Biblioteque DeVoe go to? We miss Biblioteque DeVoe.
Well, that's on Pandora, man.
I miss him.
Smack it up, flip it, rub it down.
Go.
I can't believe you're ending this episode with that.
No. I know. Well, that's the classy part. I mean, mm-hmm. you
that's
know,
the classy part.
Rub you down with some hot oil and just watch your body shine.
Mm-hmm. I want to freak you up.
I want to sex you up.
I
want
to freak you up.
All night. And that's not Belle Biv DeVoe. That's Color Me Bad, you dumbass.
I'm just right, singing a song, son.
Oh, my gosh. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu. However, we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.